TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. John Trudell at a benefit for the UWA of Colombia. This is a moving, thought-provoking spoken word and poetry address given in honor of the UWA and their resistance to oil drilling on their ancestral land in Colombia. John Trudell is a poet, musician, and an advocate for Native American rights. He did not set out to be a writer. His poetic gift developed out of the remarkable, sometimes horrifying circumstances of his life. Trudell grew up on and around the Santa Sioux Reservation near Omaha, Nebraska. In 1969, he participated in the Indians of All Tribes occupation of Alcatraz. From 1973 to 1979, he served as national chairman of AIM, the American Indian Movement. The government response to AIM was swift, Trudell said. They waged war against us. They hunted us down. They killed, jailed, destroyed us by any means necessary. In 1979, that war took a terrible personal toll on John Trudell. On February 11, he led a march to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. Approximately 12 hours later, in the early morning hours, a fire of suspicious origin burned down Trudell's home on the Shoshone Paiute Reservation in Nevada, killing his wife Tina, their three children, and Tina's mother. Devastated by the loss of his family, Trudell withdrew from the world. Writing words became his way to keep some sanity and continue to survive. Trudell returned as musician, poet, and highly sought-after public speaker. You are about to hear the first half hour of a talk he gave in March 2001 in San Francisco. The hall was filled to capacity. Trudell took the stage with a thin folder of his poems under his arm. He began with a disclaimer of sorts, leading into a free association of thoughts about earth and sun, ancient wisdom and modern intelligence, and what it means to be a human being. Here is John Trudell.
Well, I'll try to be coherent. And I don't know exactly where we're going, but wherever it is, we'll be okay. But if I say anything that you don't agree with, that's just really what it is, right? Because I really am crazy, right? Really. I flew with the eagles until I fell from the nest. I ran with the wolves, then got lost from the pack. Slowly I go crazy every day. Some days run faster than others. I never strayed into heaven. It was hard getting past hell. I traveled through and beyond the death and birth of man. I am Iktomi. Imagine running out of imagine, mistaking authority for power, weaving life's free spirit into patterns of control. I heard all that was said. Until now, I hear nothing at all. The edge between twilight and dark, the great lie lurks. Prostitution of soul, anyone can do it or not. I went down some roads that stopped me dead in my tracks. I am Iktomi. I've been the mirror to others reflecting selves. I've known love that can't help but love, and I've been close to that hurting way of love. I flew with the eagles until I fell from the nest. I ran with the wolves, then got lost from the pack. From the earth, wind cave memories, one with the sky, time of different motions, dog days dreamer, chasing the neon woven into minds. From my place in line, I fell out of order. I've been here, I've been there, I've been anywhere, and I haven't been anywhere. And I'll be back again. I am Iktomi. Imagine running out of imagine, mistaking authority for power, weaving life's free spirit into patterns of control. In the reality of many realities, how we see what we see affects the quality of our reality. We are children of earth and sky, DNA, descendant, now ancestor, human being, physical spirit, bone, flesh, blood as spirit, metal, mineral, water as spirit. We are in time and space, but we're from beyond time and space. The past is part of the present. The future is part of the present. Life and being are interwoven. We are the DNA of Earth, Moon, planets, stars. We are related to the universal. Creator created creation, spirit and intelligence with clarity, being and human as power. We are a part of the memories of evolution. These memories carry knowledge. These memories carry our identity. Beneath race, gender, class, age, beneath citizen, business, state, religion, we are human beings. And these memories are trying to remind us, human beings, human beings, it's time to rise up, remember who we are. I think I want to talk a little bit about who we are. Because, see, reality is based upon our perception of reality. It's what it is. But we really need to understand that. See, and I think one of the objectives in life is to understand. It's not enough to know. Right? I know how to turn on the TV, but I can't even begin to understand how it works. So it's not enough to know. So I think one of the purposes that life teaches us is the further we make it into life, is the more coherency we have left than we will understand. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a reality where I'm surrounded by all these beings that don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, they don't know where they are, they don't understand the language that they speak, so there's a general confusion and chaos that just takes place in their reality. It's almost like, you know, the way they make all the little chaos go inside of an internal combustion engine, you know, and all the sparks and all the stuff just flying in, and it creates an energy that runs something. Well, anyway, it's almost like this is the perceptional reality that is being carried around in the human consciousness to make this. So anyway, who we are, we're human beings. And the DNA of the human being, our bone, flesh, and blood is literally made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We are literally shapes and forms of the earth. That's who we are. And we have being. Our being comes from our relationship to the sun and to the universe. Because our relationship to the sun, I mean, let's be very coherent and clear about this. Without the sun, we would not have life. All right, it's almost like the rays of light that the sun represents and brings to the earth. See, this is the sperm that gives life to the womb that earth is. So our relationship to power and our relationship to the reality of power is connected to that relationship. Anyway, what I see, the being part of human is being mined through the human experience. See, they're mining us. And whoever they are, I don't have the names, but we'll just figure some of that out on our own because, you know, and I'm sure they have names. I'm real sure that they do, but I can't say them to you because they don't want us to know their names maybe, right? Because what they're doing isn't really, you know, in a way it's like vampirism and a lot of things, but anyway, in a mechanical term, we're being mined. And the being part of human is being mined through the logic of the human. All right? And the emotions of the human. The being of spirit, the spirit of being, is what is being mined through the logics and emotions of the human. in order to run the systems. I mean, this is the purpose of technologic civilization. They call it technologic for a very specific reason. This isn't an accident, okay? You know? It truly isn't. But the purpose of the civilization, and so one of the civilizing processes is to erase memories. All right? To erase memories. Because we have ancestral memory. It's encoded in the DNA. It's a genetic memory. See, but you look at how technologic civilization, and everywhere that it goes, the longer it's there, the more isolated the human beings, but they're not called human beings, they're workers and citizens and et cetera, right? Right? But the more isolated they feel, they no longer, you know, maybe they remember their grandparents or their great-grandparents. But see, you've got all that ancestral knowledge that's encoded in the DNA, but it's been cut off. So it can't activate, because if we're not conscious that it's there, then we can't, it just makes it difficult. See, this is a memory that that is very important for them to erase. All right? And it's about who we are. It's a memory of identity and self-reality. So anyway, we come from where we come from. Every one of us is the descendant of a tribe. Every person in this room is a descendant of a tribe at some point in our ancestral evolution. Common collective genetic memory that's in there, you know, that's encoded, like I say, in the DNA. And for every individual, encoded in our individual DNA, all right, is the experience of our lineage from the very beginning, whose whole perceptual reality was what I was just saying. All things have being. We're made up of the earth. All my relations pray to spirits. See, and they didn't pray to man or human form. The closest they came to it was they prayed to spirits that were called ancestors. Right? And because they were praying those ancestors for help and guidance, they understood that we were borrowing today from the past and the future. We're borrowing it from both places. So they had this understanding of reality. So they knew that to keep the balance was the purpose. That was the purpose. The reason for being was to keep the balance. So this was like, you know, what I would call a spiritual perception of reality. And so because of the spiritual perception of reality, they understood that life was about responsibility. It wasn't about the abstraction of freedom. It was about responsibility. That life was about responsibility. So the spiritual perception of reality was based upon that. We were the children of the earth. The earth was our mother. The sky, the sun and the sky, these were our fathers. Right? But this was, and our reality worked for us. This morning, the mirror didn't know who I was today. I remember some of the whatever happened to's. Then sometimes I'm too occasional to understand or comprehend. What I believed, was because I was delusional. There's no other explanation. Clinging to the program, obviously, is the obvious lie. The past is more than a memory. Experiencing the future before the fantasy was the dream. Fantasy is the leftovers, a toxic waste from mining the dream. It's a perceptional thing. This technologic mental state, is this reality or more desperate lies? Manufacturing perceptions, packaging free thinking into reacted thought. Sometimes when it rains, it's not that simple when the sky has reasons to cry. This evening, the mirror saw that I looked kind of familiar tonight. In our common collective genetic ancestral mind, not a one of our ancestors went for the new show. Nobody wanted, they wouldn't buy the tickets. So the show was going to die. So the show decided rather than it die, it would make our ancestors die until they accepted the show. And this is what happened. And it happened to all of us. Whatever happened to the Indians here, trust me, it happened to the tribes of Europe. You know, it started happening to them 3,000 years before it happened to us. So by the time the descendants of tribes of Europe got here, they had it down. You know, they were very efficient. They could do in a couple hundred years what it took. Well, I mean, no offense. Moths and other sacred wings. Butterflies and bees whisper. In breath of the wind, blessed way, blessing way things. Dreams are the mind's streams, thought pictures of the spirit. There are dreams of the day. There are dreams of the night. Thinking and dreaming are related. Dreams of the day we make our own. Dreams of night, part of eternal stone. There are dream takers, taking from dream worlds, taking dreams as a way of stealing thoughts, turning minds inside and out. Dream slavers want to change our connections to ourselves, mess with our dreams, make us unsure, unclear about right and wrong, feed our dreams and instincts to industrial profit machine. Difference between dream and fantasy, reality and illusion, center and no center. Dreams of the day keep our spirit alive, our creative mind, who we really are. With dreams we can create and heal, follow our original purpose. Dreams are protection, good medicine. Blessed way things. Sun and moon continue. We are all on one journey. So in our collective genetic ancestral memory, we had the experience of encountering the technologic perceptional reality, because somewhere as this thing unfolded and refined itself as it was spreading over the planet, a religious perceptional reality was used to replace a spiritual perceptional reality. All right? Because the spiritual sense of reality, you're connected to everything, man. You know, you're connected. But in the religious perceptional reality, see, you committed a crime for being born. See, you forgetting here. Yeah, I didn't make this up. I'm not making it up now. Right? And so anyway, in order to justify being here, to get to stay, right, you had to submit to the male dominator chain of command, the authoritarian system. See, in this new religious reality said that, you know, well, now there's one God. The gods battle it out amongst themselves, see. See, I can't envision, to me, I've never been able to envision gods or goddesses. I can't imagine a creator in a human form. I can't. And I think our path to trouble started when we started to do it that way. All right, looking at the earth as the mother and these things, you know, call her the goddess, whatever, and this and that. See, but I don't go with God because I know that's a limited perceptional reality. See, they forced it on us, but the trouble came, see, when we decided that the creator entity had a human form. See, because then that rationalized and justified mistreating the rest of the natural world. All right? I mean, sexism and racism came out of this perceptional change, because once the earth, you know, under the new God thing, see, the earth was no longer the mother. The earth was the property, this new God, and all God's children. See, God didn't have a lot then, but they were very mean, so their numbers expanded through terror. See, but God's children, was their job and objective was to subdue the earth for this God. So in order to achieve that objective, they had to create sexism. See, sexism's got to do with how we live with the earth. And racism, because now the earth was property, you know, and all spiritual value was away from the earth, you know. Real spiritual value was now a religious perceptional thing, and right, so it wasn't all-encompassing. It wasn't just a part of the reality anymore. So not one of our people really went for this. Because it's like, you know, this is a major perceptional reality change. But anyway, we committed a moral crime for getting here, so now we had to submit to that worldview. To me, it's clearly a very blatant perceptional altering how one perceives reality. I mean, it's brainwashing intensified at its maximum, right? Because our ancestors were forced to see life differently in order to remain just physically alive. All right, you know, it's like, I don't really know that much about what happened to Europe, but I would suggest every person of European descendancy that you go and you study. You want to know more about your reality? Go and study your tribal ancestry and see how you got civilized. All right? See how you got civilized.
because terrible things happened. And these terrible things, these are what altered the perceptional reality. See, and because the basic part of this, and that altering of the perceptional reality, what we're getting down to is it made us become irresponsible as human beings. Because, see, we can blame the bad guys for being bad guys, but that don't work. It's not enough. It's about human beings remembering their spiritual reality, their spiritual identity, and accepting the responsibility from that perceptional reality, taking responsibility. Because the bad guys only get away with what they get away with because we don't take responsibility, because there's a difference between blaming somebody for something and taking responsibility. So when Columbus got here, he got off the boat, and he said to the first people he saw, "Who are you?" And the first people he saw said, "We're human beings." And Columbus said, "Oh, Indians." And right now when I'm talking, Columbus is every descendant of the tribe of Europe that came. We're not talking one person here. We're talking a mindset. All right, this is a mentality that came, the Columbus mentality, we name it. Right? Because, but it isn't about discovering. This is, you know, it's like almost like this is when the virus got here. And this is how long it's been here. But because, you know, we've never had this disease before, that we have no natural, we don't have an immunity to it. But if we can survive the ravages of this disease, we will evolve an immunity to it because we are the part of the earth, and that's what happens. Right? Anyway, Columbus got here. And he didn't know what it meant to be a human being. See, that perceptional reality of being a human being and what it really meant had been erased from the descendants of the tribes of Europe by the time they got here. So when we introduced ourselves to the European as human beings, they just didn't get it. It wasn't a part of their perceptional reality. They might know how to say the words, right? But being a human being had changed in their reality, right? We know there was an Inquisition. And this Inquisition went on for 400 or 500 years in Europe. The purpose of the Inquisition was to alter the perceptional reality of the descendants of the tribes of Europe, to make them believe and see reality the way the church wanted them to believe and see reality. The church called it, they waged a war for possession, This is important. They waged a war for the possession of the souls of the godless heathens. And to be a godless heathen, you just didn't believe in God. It wasn't part of your reality. Or another way of becoming a godless heathen was to question the authority of the church to do this. See, now, again, I'm not making this up. You know, this did transpire. These things did happen. And they killed as many people as they could, I guarantee it, in order to get the other ones to submit. So they killed as efficiently as they could with the technology they had at their disposal at that time, all right? And because they created a rationalization as to why to do it, so it just became as efficient as they could do. And at some point, the descendants of the tribes of Europe no longer knew what it meant to be a human being. They just didn't know. They didn't want to know. So the descendants of the tribes of Europe, in the end, had to love what they feared, which was there to possess them. See, and I think it messed up love in a lot of ways, you know, that they haven't unsorted yet. No offense, but... But anyway, all of this took place through our intelligence. Our intelligence. Now, whoever it is we pray to, right? Whoever it is we pray to, however we pray, however we do that, all right? I think that we have an obligation and a responsibility, and it's about respect. If we respect our Creator, then we should use our intelligence as intelligently as we can, as often as we can. And that means with clarity and coherency. That means to activate and respect our intelligence and activate the thinking process so that it's going the way we want it to be, because that's why it was given to us. Our intelligence, as the human being part of all of this reality that's going on, we were given intelligence. This is what was there to help us through the evolutionary reality, to ride the balance, so to speak, of the evolution. With our intelligence, it's our medicine, it's our protection, it's our self-defense. Those fears and doubts and insecurity in one's daily mind and reality, how much do they affect one's daily mind and reality? How much do they affect the ones of the people around them that they're connected to and cared about, that they care about? So what's the repercussions of the fears and the doubts and insecurity? Because I guarantee you, every day when we get up, we use our intelligence to create those effects. So it isn't that we're not using our intelligence or we can't use our intelligence. We can't stop using our intelligence. But it's about, as human beings, taking the responsibility to be as clear as one possibly can be about it and use our intelligence the way our Creator gave it to us to use. Keep the balance. Our intelligence. So this is, everything that ever happened had to change the perceptual reality. The battleground had to take place. The real battleground may have been the bleeding and the dying, but it has to do with the intelligence to alter the perceptual reality. So again, about respect. See, if we respect our Creator, we have a responsibility to recognize our intelligence and use it as clearly and coherently as we possibly can. Otherwise, we're just pretending. We're just being delusional and rationalizing and justifying and just telling ourselves a big lie. If we do not use our intelligence as intelligently as we possibly can, that's how we show respect to our Creator. See, and you can't say you don't know because I just told it to you. Right? No, I mean,
that was the first half hour of a one-hour talk by the Native American poet, musician, and activist, John Tudell. My apologies for having to interrupt it here. This is all that would fit into TUC's half-hour slot. Tune in next week for the conclusion. Tudell spoke at a benefit for the UWA. They are resisting oil drilling by Occidental Petroleum on their ancestral land in Colombia. Tudell grew up on and around the Santee Sioux Reservation near Omaha, Nebraska. In 1969, he participated in the occupation of Alcatraz. From 1973 to 1979, he served as national chairman of AIM, the American Indian Movement. TUC Radio is listener-supported. Your tape order is welcome. It allows us to continue our work. You can get a copy of the full program by calling anytime toll-free at 1-877-TUC-TAPE. That's 877-TUC-TAPE. Or go to the newest programs section on our website at www.tucradio.org. That's www.tucradio.org. This program was recorded by Jeffrey Blankfort. My name is Mariah Gelarden. Thank you for listening.